Gary must not be finding any songs related to stucco this morning.
It's a tough find this morning for stucco.
So we've got, you mentioned applications that go on over stucco, and I thought there was a standard time that you had to let it dry before you could paint. Is there not an industry standard?
There's an industry standard, but of course that takes into account people that have 80% humidity 50% of the time, and of course us here where we have 0% 50% of the time. And the industry standard's 28 days from completion of water cure to prime and paint. Quite honestly, in Arizona, you can get away. They have pH testers. You can get away with 10 days, 2 weeks in a lot of cases. Again, dependent on the weather. Wind is bad for what we do because it flash dries. Heat is just heat, and it kind of is constant, whereas wind is gusts and that kind of thing. So you do have some issues when it's windy.
And when you're doing your pH test, is there a certain standard you're looking for before you're applying your paint?
I believe paint contractors want you to be, I think, 11 on the pH scale, so it'll be hot still. Stucco, quite honestly, we've, again, torn buildings open that are 30 years old, and the pH is still 18. And that's, for a long, long time, a lot of water cures, and it's hard as a rock and no cracks and that type of thing. So for us, some of our materials, such as the synthetic materials that we use as finish coats, require a 14 or 15 before they prime and apply the colored finishes.
Now, how often are you going over when you're talking synthetic coats? Are you dyeing that, and that is your finished color?
Correct. Yeah, it's an integral product. And the only way to explain it is you take an astronomically expensive paint base that's really thick. You add sand to it. They put emulsifiers and conditioners and all kinds of additives. It's incredibly technical. And it comes out in 5-gallon buckets. And we can add the pigment on site, or it can be pre-mixed by the manufacturer. Recently did one that has a metallic finish to it. Right on Camelback Mountain around 54th Street. If you're on Camelback and look up the mountain, you see a 60-foot high elevator shaft. It's done in a metallic finish that we just recently completed.
An elevator shaft?
Yes.
Is this on
a home? It's a house, yeah.
You can see an elevator shaft on the home, okay? Yep. And it's done in metallic.
Correct.
Interesting.
I don't know what the additive is, or it's very, very strange looking, to be honest with you. To me, it has a beyond luster, new luster to it. It's really, really shiny. It does look like they put a thin metallic aluminum kind of additive to it to give it a really interesting sheen.
Now, the benefit to doing this application is you eliminate the need for painting. Now, somebody that, let's say, that moves into the home later or just wants to change the color, can you paint over the top?
Right. They're all acrylic bases. Some have elastomeric base coats. Some of them have partial elastomeric. Some are just straight acrylics. And then you have metallics and actual stone aggregate, where we have mica chips and things to make things look like stone. But you can paint over. My house is 10 years old, and I probably will paint it in about 5 or 6 more years, because it still colors very strong. It's not ashy. It's not chalky in any way, shape, or form. And it's a fairly darker brown, tan color.
And that's the color in the stucco?
Correct. We did an integral color over my home. And there's no cracks in my house and all the above, because it took almost 4 months before I put the stucco finish coat on. It's like the cobbler's kid. You're the last guy in line, no matter what. So it's we use it quite often, especially in renovation projects. There are stabilizers and there's mesh coats and adhesives and all kinds of things that we employ in our business, cement-based waterproofers. And when we're doing renovations of projects, especially territorial or contemporary Southwest, we have a lot of parapets where they crack no matter what you do. Due to the spring in the lath or framing, or there's no sheeting on the back and there's sheeting on the front, so it moves a little bit different. Or you do an ICF block house, which is a foam block with a big cement core, and then you frame your parapet on the top, so you have that naturally occurring big movement point. So we use all kinds of different products to stabilize and try to keep those cracks from returning, and pretty successful, I'd say, in a high 90 percentile when we redo a house that's cracked up badly, that they don't return.
And that stabilizing, I said I wasn't going to knock wood framed anymore, but just one more time, you can get away from needing that if you just built in masonry. Right. Now, when we're doing our stucco, our biggest weak points a lot of times can be the window flashing, and especially if there's no eave or overhang. If you're coming off of a straight parapet, a lot of times people, homeowners, will see water coming in around their window, and they think, oh, I've got a roof leak coming in. Well, it could be a window flashing situation. And there was a storm that hit out of the north really hard one time, and there I remember it seemed like it took 2 years to fix all the homes that their windows around the north side were leaking. So how do you tell the difference? Because I know it's hard to drive around all the time and, oh, this is a roof leak. Oh, no, this is a stucco leak. Where's the penetration and how to fix? But how do you identify if it's the roof or the window flashing?
Well, it's impossible job because water is the you're just trying to divert it and direct it. You can't control it. And again, we get 2.5 inches in 3 hours here. And so that building is swelling at 100 miles an hour, and then it's 140 degrees tomorrow, and it's contracting faster. So you're causing a lot of stress. And at window points, every window manufacturer has a label on how to install into framing or block. It's right on the window normally, or on the box if it's shipped in. And most people just don't follow it. And they think that what we do is the waterproofing mechanism when it is not the waterproofing mechanism. We use a product, and it's specifically called a water-resistant underlayment, which means it will repel water for up to 3 hours before it saturates and goes through. So that's a lot of rain, and very rarely do we get that here. But to detect you have to obviously water test it and see when it comes in. Does it come in immediately? Does it come in after 30 minutes of soaking with a hose? Does it come in at the top of the window? Is it coming in just at the bottoms? A lot of different things that you try to detect without tearing it open and looking. But in some cases, we've had no other choice but to start tearing it open and start looking. And sometimes that demolition gets 16, 18 inches wide by the time you're done, and you find that where it's torn and it's just catching a fire block or something and coming over, and the window's the open point and the weak point, and water's migrating there. If it's flashed correctly, and you shouldn't have water enter around the window. Shouldn't. I know there's flashing inspections now. There used to not be. There's a number of homes in North Scottsdale off of Pima Princess. There's housing communities that have no building paper on them at all. And it's a standard one coat application, which is the foam, the fiber reinforced product, and then a finish. But because there was less than 14 inches of rainfall in our area, it was not a requirement by state code. And that got changed in the, I believe, late 80s, early 90s. It went, everybody had to have some sort of building construction water resistant product on the framing.
And that probably, that style, that construction probably helped you put some kids through college.
Yeah. Yeah.
Going back and fixing those.
That, and they're pretty good athletes. That helped out a lot too. So the problem you have when you come to a building that doesn't have building paper on it, by code, I have to put building paper back on. And what did I just do? Create a dam in case water comes in at the top, and it can make a decision. Does it go outside or does it go inside? And I have to put it in. And I tell the people, I may have just created a bigger problem, or as big a problem as you have now. And to date, after 19 years of doing this, or almost 20 now, we have not had anybody call me back and say, any of the windows are re-leaking, we've been blessed to have really good quality guys when we do our work and they put it back correctly.
And how big of a intrusion are you having to make to the existing stucco? I mean, are we cutting back 6 inches, 12 inches? around the window?
We do our best to stay inside of the outside stud.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. And when we make our cuts or removals, and window guys, some do it that way, some just find a place and cut. But because if we don't, again, I have to anchor to a stud. I can't anchor to sheeting by code requirements. So I have to go another 16 inches to the next stud if in fact, they cut on the outside of the stud. What we do is we use old and new. We keep some of the old wire and overlap it with the new wire. So I'd like to keep that 2 inches on the outside of the opening where we can just chip it back, chip the stucco coat itself off, roll the wire back, put new underlayments, and then new wire and put the old wire back on top or under. Either way, it doesn't matter. And then you have a much stronger lath joint at that point where it's overlapped. And then we chip to get a finger joint rather than a straight joint because it will cure a little slower and differently, and you won't have a straight line that opens up after 6 months.
Julia and Anthems join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. Julie, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a question about synthetic stucco, which we currently have on our home. It's been on since 2006, and we have such expansive soil that we're starting to get little hairline cracks around the framing. So I want to know, can you repatch synthetic stucco or does it need to be replaced?
Yes, you can patch. Unfortunately, it's extremely visible in that the synthetic product stacks on top of the existing product. It doesn't blend. It's not like drywall where you can sand it in, whether it's the underlayments or the underproducts or the finish coats. So that is a downside to using a synthetic, that if you get enough cracking, then it becomes more like a roadmap after it's been caulked and painted. And you would have to maybe redo it and not just with a finish coat, because all those cracks come from the inside out. They don't start on the outside and work in. They start inside and work out. So if you just put a coating on, that same crack is just working through a thinner coat than it did originally. And it will, in most cases, return. So when we do a renovation of a synthetic or even a conventional stucco home, we will utilize cement adhesives and flat, heavy fiberglass mesh to stabilize it, similar to a cracked tile in your floor. And when you get the tile up, you find a crack in the slab, you fix it, and you either put a foam membrane or a mesh down prior to reinstalling the tile. And theoretically, that takes the probability of the crack returning way, way, way down. And that's the similar application that we would apply to the exterior of a house.
And for someone in Anthem, that 2016, you know, it's at least 13 years. She's a lot luckier than a lot of other people in Anthem were. That was you look at the Arizona Archaeological Map of Expansive Soils, and Anthem's like the hub.